I'm not entirely sure if the following story is a true story, although it does bear repeating because it does have that ring about it. Also, having worked in a bank for a number of years, I have come across some very unusual combinations of names with which people have been well and truly blessed with. The scene is set in a fairly large bookstore in a major Australian city. The occasion was a book signing as a book was being launched for a major author. And there was a fairly large crowd of would-be purchasers of the newly launched book, and they were being formed into orderly queues in front of a fairly large desk. Behind the desk sat the book's author. As each purchaser approached the desk, he or she was asked to state their name. You get the idea. Jill Adams approaches and she says her name. The author writes a few words addressed to Jill Adams and signs her name. Well, all went very well for several hours without incident. Then it came to the turn of one lady. "Emma Chisett," she said. The author looked up and replied, "The signing is quite free, my dear." Our lady blushes somewhat. "No, no," she says, "me name's Emma Chisett." In a roundabout way, I suppose that this humorous little story introduces my topic today. As you'll be aware, the Church of God takes up an offering from the brethren on each of God's holy days as they appear before God. God's holy days fall into three groups: the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, also known as Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles in the autumn. This is where we are today. Three feasts have already been gone, observed this year, and this is the fourth, and three more feast days are yet to come. These are the days on which we are commanded to come before our God, our Maker, to make an offering. These commanded offerings are, as you'll be aware, in addition to our tithes and freewill offerings and whatever else we may care to give. As we are all aware, we should already have given serious thought to the offering that we're about to make on this day. Individually and personally, we are about to make an offering to our God. We should not now be thinking, "Emma Chisett." As you'll realise, my overall purpose today is to introduce the offering on this holy day. We're expected to have prepared beforehand, and this is brought out by the Apostle Paul in the second epistle to the church at Corinth in chapter 9 and verses 5-9. It is not a question of asking ourselves now, "Emma Chisett." This is something that we must all consider throughout the whole of the holy day season. Our offering should already have been decided well before this day arrived. So here in 2 Corinthians verses 5-9 we find these words: "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, wherefore you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever." I'm not a great fan of the wider range of translations of the Holy Scriptures, but since it was originally translated in 1611, many of the words of King James's time have over time, lost their original meanings and their flavour. Here, in the latter part of the 19th century, James Moffat rendered this passage in somewhat more modern English as, "That is why I have thought it necessary to ask these brethren to go on in advance and get your promised contributions ready in good time. I want it to be forthcoming as a generous gift, not as money wrung out of you. Mark this, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows generously will reap a generous harvest. Everyone is to give what he has made up his mind to give. There is to be no grudging or compulsion about it, for God loves the giver who gives cheerfully. God is able to bless you with ample means, so you'll always have quite enough for any emergency of your own, and ample besides for any kind act to others. As it is written, he scatters his gifts to the poor broadcast. His charity lasts forever." Although the Apostle Paul was not speaking about offerings that we give on holy days, he was speaking about our attitude of giving. Are we giving our offering because that is what we really want to do? Or are we giving it because we feel that we have to, it is a compulsion? Or do we feel that we're being forced to make the offering? We are aware that God requires us to make an offering, but whatever we give, when we put it beside the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, whatever we give today pales into insignificance. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us. And what is required is that we give it according to what was written by the prophet Micah. We return to the book of Micah and read verses 7 and 8 of chapter 6. In these two verses, the prophet speaks about huge offerings and asks us, what does God expect of us? Then he gives us the answer. To some extent, the size of the offering is not important. What is important is the attitude with which we give. As Paul talks about us being a living sacrifice in Romans chapter 12, but here in Micah chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, we read the following words. "Will the Eternal be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Eternal require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." I'm not a farmer, and I've no real idea of what a ram would cost. But thousands of rams? Suppose we say that a ram costs about £30. And remember, the word thousands is plural. So we're talking about a minimum of over £60,000 as an offering. A huge amount. Or rivers of oil, a quality product, even greater in value, probably by several times over. What is required is that we live life as just, merciful and humble people, living life as a living sacrifice. Now here we are on this special day, this feast day, picturing a change from one dispensation to another, from the age of man to the kingdom of God. I would now like to turn to the book of Leviticus and we'll read from chapter 23, verses 24 and 25. In this chapter, God tells us which days are to be observed as his holy days. And verses 24 and 25 refer specifically to this day, the Feast of Trumpets. Here in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 24 and 25, we are given the following words. "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the eternal. These words could hardly be plainer. The same command is made on each holy day. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the eternal. As I've already said, it is not a case of sitting here wondering, "Am I it?" We have been given our orders for each holy day. We are to offer an offering made by fire unto the eternal. No matter what else we offer on this day or on any other day of our lives, we have to love justice and mercy and are to be humble. And we are expected to live our lives as living sacrifices before our God and our Maker. We must remember that we can never outgive our Creator of this whole great universe against our offerings today. He laid down his very life that we might have an opportunity to join him in eternity. These words by comparison may appear somewhat trite when we think what a sacrifice was. Let us therefore come before our God in a cheerful manner and make our offering, showing our Father in heaven that it is our earnest desire and wish to give our offering cheerfully and happily. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the eternal your God in the place that he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the eternal your God, which he has given you. And that is Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 and 17. We will now take up the offering today. And whilst this is being done, there will be offering music, which is Sostenuto in E-flat by Chopin, played on the piano by Miss Beth Henderson.